The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler right back with you here on 710 KNUS. Continuing a conversation we started last hour, it really began with an interview with David Magoia from the Denver and Colorado Springs Gazette. You got to check out the article on what's now not going to happen regarding the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And it got us really talking about, how do we make government accountable to us? And the issue of term limits came up for even judges. I mean, we have the least transparent, least accessible, least accountable branch of government are the ones who can serve the longest. And that doesn't seem to make any sense in my teeny tiny little gray matter. And then you had Senator Ted Cruz offer up a constitutional amendment not to limit the terms for Supreme Court justices, which I don't know why, but to offer two terms for U.S. senators. That's 12 years because, you know, they're super special. And by the way, he couldn't run for re-election if it happened. But only 6 years for members of the House, half as long, even though they have to run every 2 years. And the question really got going here. What are we doing with term limits? Are these the answer? Joan doesn't like them. Joan doesn't like them because bureaucrats have no term limits on them as well. And maybe that's something else. But I'm interested to get your feedback. Here's some text coming in. Term limits may cause Congress to become dangerously radical. Please tell me that that's meant to be ironic or sarcastic. What are you talking about? Congress is dangerously radical. Pelosi, lover, hater, she was a bulwark to the squad. Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe you're saying it'd be less stable. There was a time that the DA election was a break on this kind of political crap, but then the money started buying the offices. I would prefer campaign money limits. I appreciate the sentiment. I don't want campaign financing limits because you know who that favors? Rich people, the self-funder candidates like, I don't know, Jared Polis. That dude benefits from campaign finance limits. Limiting your and my ability to get our word out there and try to advance the cause for whatever issue or candidate we have, that can't be the answer. I'd rather have 100% transparency and know where every single penny came from, but every single penny gets to come. Here's one. Term limits for all judges or just Court of Appeals and Colorado Supreme Court? Great question. I'm open to the conversation, but in my mind, all of them. What do you think? Nancy, thanks for hanging on, Nancy. You're on 710 KNUS. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know about term limits. I'm not sure that we will get the true efficiency from our legislators with that because...
Are you looking for efficiency? Before we get there, are you looking for efficiency out of Congress?
I'm looking for honesty and, I guess, honesty. You have legal services. You have legislative counsel. You have all these state employees and federal employees that are doing the work for the legislators. They're the ones that check to see if the legislation they're proposing is going to abide by the Constitution. And it's at their discretion. A lot of the new people, which we would have if we had term limits, are just getting their feet wet. There's a lot to learn in the legislative process. And they depend on these people to kind of lead them through the paces. So I don't believe that term limits is the answer. I think my vote is the term limit.
And what would you make the term limits and for which offices or all of them?
I don't know that I'd make it for any of them. If we're going to have it for one, we should have it for all. In other words, if we have it for the legislature, we should have it for judicial and the governor.
Well, we do. We have it for the legislature and the governor. The only people that don't have it so far are judges of any kind that I'm aware of and members of Congress. So if you were going to create term limits, would you apply them to judges? And here's why I ask. You made it sound like one of the problems is it takes a long time for people to figure out what they're doing in government. That's kind of an indictment of the system itself. And so we need to give them ample opportunity to learn on the job.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Do we want that? And how much time do you give them? If you're going to, Nancy's going to term limit judges here in Colorado, what are those terms? How long can someone serve in a robe?
If I were imposing term limits, it would probably be 12 years.
Okay. And tell me how you came up with that number.
Well, it seems like a reasonable amount of time. I don't know. It's arbitrary.
It is arbitrary. It's an even number, and most terms in office are. It's a multiple of four, which matters because many of our offices, especially at the state level, take place over four-year terms. Same thing with DA. So it's I just didn't know if you had some magic to 12.
No, I don't. It would be for the U.S. Senate, 2 6-year terms, and for
Congress, 12 also,
and six,
or House,
and six 2-year terms.
Six 2-year terms.
Yes.
Could you be elected into the Senate after doing 12 years in the House?
You could be.
Okay, interesting.
I wouldn't put a restriction on that.
How about for judges? 12 years for judges?
Yes.
And why 12 for judges?
For the same reason.
Well, 12 years is a long time. As you know, I imagine, you know what I'd love to know, and someone must keep track of this, what's the average amount of time a judge is on the bench that's sitting there right now? You know what I mean? Maybe we find out it's a lot less than we think. Maybe there's been a ton of turnover. How many years have people served on the bench before they've retired? Because, Nancy, the other thing that we never talk about here is there's a big, fat, golden parachute called para for judges after they serve decades on the bench. And to give you an example, to achieve 50% of your highest average three, you only have to serve 20 years, right? That 50% translates for a judge that's pulling down, let's call it a $180 by the time they leave the bench. That means every year that they can get out of bed, they get $90,000 taxpayer dollars just for getting out of bed. That's a big incentive.
It certainly is.
And the 12-year limitation might limit that quite a bit. That might not be a bad thing.
That's true, yeah.
Nancy?
Probably bring the para retirement down to compensate for
that. Oh, my God, I don't want to do that either. And, Nancy, thank you for the conversation. You've really gotten us started here. Nancy's line is open, 303-696-1971. I think that you're going to hear some people. Let me take up the cause of the judges and some of these other folks. Well, if they can't serve long enough to get a meaningful retirement, why in the world would they ever leave their super milk-toasty practices in the private sector? Or why would they ever leave being a government attorney if they can't have the promise of serving on the bench for 20 years? I think it's a fair question, but the answer to it is, I don't care. I don't. If part of getting the best and the brightest is we have to lure them financially to come serve in government, maybe their head isn't in the right place. Maybe we don't want them to do the job. I got to say, I'm looking at the judges on the bench right now. One thing they all have in common is that you and I didn't pick them. The other thing they have in common, and I'm telling you, and I mean this as respectfully as possible, something happens when you put on the robe and you instantly begin to believe you are the smartest person in the room because somebody picked you to be a judge. And when you say stuff, it has the force of law. That ain't true for the DA, certainly not true for the public defender, not true for the police in that room. Something happens. And so I've heard this before, too. I offered the idea that for judges, there ought to be a requirement that they serve X number of years in a career field like criminal or domestic relations before they get picked to be on that bench, and they should be pigeonholed in there. And you know, some judges said, well, how boring would that be, man? What if I want some variety? I'm like, okay, stay in private practice, man. The purpose of government isn't to entertain you and reward your political ambitions. It's for you to do a job, man. It's weird. It's weird. 303-696-1971. Nancy's line is open. Alexa, you're on 710. What do you think?
Hey, George, how are you?
As you can tell, I'm on the mend, but this is the kind of slow, lingering thing. I've never had this before.
It sucks, but, you know, can't wait for you to hit the high notes again.
Me too. I want to sing along with the me too, as you know. What do you think about all this?
So one of my concerns for, and again, maybe it's just appellate in Supreme Court, is would any of them, I know, shock, be able to be, after hearing Dave Magoia, compromise? I kind of do like the Supreme Court people, you know, I mean, obviously they can retire if they want to, but if they're on there, then they're not beholden to anybody when they retire, you know, that they might have done a judgment one way or another. And that really concerns me because we see it with our politicians all the time. And I'd like to think...
That's interesting, Alexa. That's an important aspect of this, too. And that is, do we make them more corruptible, either overtly or just subconsciously, right? Because they're thinking to themselves, will this decision hamper my ability to go out and earn some other living? And I guess I don't want them thinking about the next job, although it seems like it's impossible to keep that from happening. But what do you do with this? How do you make this branch accountable to us?
Now, I do think we need to make it accountable, and it should be just like we do in everything else in our lives. There should be rules and regulations that everybody has to follow, and with the Dave Magoia story, it's just astounding, not only that they didn't have these rules, but common sense doesn't exist. I mean, you know, a judge who has a interesting nickname, you know, probably shouldn't be serving on the bench forever. I mean, someone should say, you know what, this isn't the right job for you if you're exhibiting these behaviors, or if you're not able to let go of people or fire people because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or they break the rules.
Do you feel differently about Cruz's proposal for the Senate and the House than you do for the judges?
Yeah, I like his proposal. I do think our forefathers, when they envisioned our government, they envisioned that people would be going into these jobs part-time, not a career. And because it's now become a career and there's so much manipulation of people, that's one way we can stop it. Is by term limiting them.
Do you wonder why they didn't put one in themselves? I mean, they put limits for other things in there. I mean, you know, terms of office and stuff, but not the number of terms. Why didn't they do it? And is that a sign of something?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge sign of something. It's the same as some of the laws that they pass, they're not subject to. Why is that? You know, they want to do COVID mandates for everybody. They want everybody to have, you know, the Obamacare, Health Care Act, all those things. They're not subject to it. That's insane. I mean, it'd be like a police commissioner saying, here's the laws of the county. I mean, I know that's not how it works, but here's the laws of the county. Everybody has to follow them but me. Would we say that's okay?
No. No, we wouldn't. I worry, Alexa, because I trust your judgment with your vote. And what I worry about is you find a congressperson, man or woman, doesn't matter, that you really like.
Yeah.
And they're doing a great job. In fact, maybe everybody agrees, most effective member of Congress we've ever seen. But simply because they've been elected three times or whatever the magic number is, that's it. You're not allowed to vote for them again. You don't get to have that choice. You got to start over with some other boob. I mean, I worry about that as an infringement on my liberty.
I can see your point with that, and I understand it. You know, how many octogarians do we have in
Congress? I know.
Congress. I mean, and so is there a happy medium? Is 18 years, maybe the max.
That seems like a long time, too. I mean,
that's a long time, but, you know, if you couldn't have done what you needed to do as a senator,
I agree. I also think that you and I are the ultimate term limiter. Like, we get to vote that way. Right. But if what we're looking for is something that is, like, more magnanimous, more noble, I mean, you got to look to Bob Schaefer. Remember, Bob says, hey, I'm running on term limits. I'm going to Congress. I'm going to serve, I think it was 3 terms, and I'm out. You know who else said the same thing at the same time? Guy named Tom Tancredo. One of them lived up to their word. The other one didn't. What do we do with that?
Not sure, but you know, one of the things in the real world, business world, you know, if you are a good leader, you are mentoring to find your replacement. Maybe that's what some of these people do who are very good. They should be mentoring and helping find a great candidate to replace them. I mean, if they truly care about their constituents,
you know,
wouldn't you want to do that?
Happen. That's never
going to
happen.
I live in my fantasy world, George, so...
I could get down with the term limits if only because whatever we've tried so far has been so ineffective to break that vice-like grip that incumbents have on these offices. But I'd want to do it like sunset it. You know what I mean? I'd want to try it and say, for 10 years, we're going to try this bad boy, and then we're going to come back and we're going to revisit it. And if we like it, by the way, I want to see just about every law sunset after a certain period of time. The fact that they live on in perpetuity until we undo it is stupid, too. But I'd like to see us give something a try here. I think Ted Cruz offers this not because he really believes it, but because he wants to have it as a talking point. There's no chance this is going to pass.
You're correct. And, you know, I think the saddest part is to realize that a large portion of the people who supposedly represent us don't really represent us. They're about power and money, and they will do anything to save their skin and to either make extra money. I mean, I still would like to see every congressperson, president's tax return while they're in office.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
And
I'd like to see that.
And how about... And for the next 6 years after you leave office, we get to see what you make.
Oh, that's interesting, too. Once you leave the public eye, we'd still have access?
Yeah, I think so, because some of these people, I mean, where did Alvis Brooks go? To some construction company or something? I mean, it's just really interesting where politicians end up in their career, and they're paid a heck of a lot of money to really just be the pretty face at the corporation. They don't really work. Many of them don't.
You were probably about to say Steve Foster, but I'm glad you didn't, because he could be listening. There's a chance.
He probably is. He probably is. No, he is the coolest guy.
He is the coolest dude. If we need more Steve Fosters. I'd love to see Steve Foster in Congress, by the way. That dude would make a little bit of a mess, but it would be great.
Don't put his poor wife through that.
Yeah, no. I don't think she would tolerate it or permit him. I'm just saying, Steve's the kind of guy I'd love to cut loose into that kind of a setting.
Oh, absolutely.
Might make him crazy, but I'd love to watch it happen, you know, just because
he would whip them into shape like no tomorrow.
I agree.
Would be spinning.
Alexis, great to hear your voice. Thanks for listening to mine.
Great to hear you.
Maybe we'll see at Perry's. I don't know. I don't think Amanda's going back there, but who knows, man. Hey, listen, Alexa's line is open, 303-696-1971. Frank, I promise I'll get to you and the other callers that are calling in right now and some of the texts. This term limits thing, do you want it? Isn't it infringement on your right? Or are you like, I don't care anymore? We have got to have a change. I am so butt sore over Congress and the judicial branch. If the only way we can get control is to limit how long someone can serve there, so be it. 303-696-1971. Before we cut away, I got to remind you about somebody, a superstar in his own right. This is a guy out of, by the way, I don't think he can make it in Congress, because this guy's all about customer service. He's not about feathering his own nest. He's about feathering your nest by upgrading the countertops in your kitchen and in your bathroom. Yep, that's right. I'm talking about the Mitch Floria. Super Coloradan, super American. Got that business out there called The Art of Granite, even though it does so much more. It's kind of a hidden gem. They do granite, quartz, marble, fill in the blank. And you can find out about all of it just by getting in your car and driving for like 17 minutes, I think, from almost anywhere to the corner of about I-70, 6th Avenue, Colfax area. And when you go in there, you see the showroom, you get to talk to the folks that work for Mitch, and you fall in love with the idea that, man, this is a small business. It's kind of become a big deal here, but they still treat me like I'm just, you know, another neighbor. That's the kind of business they give you. Let me tell you this. They're so invested in this community, the you and me community, that if you mention you listen to this show right here, KNUS, you get 20% off of labor for January. Or you get the kitchen or bathroom sink for free with the purchase of any countertop package. The guy that does that is the guy that's invested in you, not just maximizing the number of dollars he can get from you, but making you happy. Give him a call, 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. That's theartofgranite.com, theartofgranite with a T, .com. When we come back, Frank, everybody else, the text, George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Little STP, Stone Temple Pilots on 710 KNUS. We had someone poke their head in from across the hall to say how much they enjoyed the phone call that we received from our Alexa. There it is. Alexa, congratulations. You probably know who that fan is. Now, I want to get back to the phone lines and to the texts that are coming in here about these term limits. And it really grew out of the discussion we had with Dave McGoy about the Supreme Court and what can we do about it. But here's one. Hello, for discussing term limits, I think that I would like to see is start reducing or removing some of the privileges that come with longevity, because that is what is throwing everything off. People that have been there forever get numerous power and perk types of advantage. If we made it more level, that serving was serving, not a ticket to the penthouse office and power in the committees, I think that would help a lot. Well, it's true that longevity gets you seniority and placement on those committees. That part is true. And you probably get more pay. I don't know what the other perks are. I know in Congress, there's jockeying for offices. Like some people want to be in the Rayburn or the Longworth or the whatever these office buildings are. And I do remember once sitting down to meet with Diana DeGette. And keep in mind that over the course of my lifetime, I believe there have been two members of Congress from Denver, Pat Schroeder and Diana DeGette, and that's it. And that's sad. That's sad. Can't point to something big Diana's done, but she's been there a long time. But I sat in her office. It was for a meeting on something, doing it in my role as prosecutor. And I remember she came in, and she has this ridiculous view of the Capitol Dome itself. It's like the one you would see in a TV show, like Scandal or something. I remember she came in. She was just beaming ear to ear. She said, "Great view, huh?" And everyone that was in the meeting was like, "Yeah, yeah, it's a cool view." She goes, "It took me 20 years to get that view." And I thought, oh my God, what an indictment of this crappy system, that if you stick around long enough, you get a better view of the Capitol. Like, I don't like term limits because it keeps me from voting for who I want. And I don't like that. But I could be convinced. Frank, convince me. You're on 710 KNUS. What do you think?
Hey, George. I don't really fundamentally like the idea of term limits, and it's just on account of it's a governor to try to protect us from ourselves, and I don't think that's necessarily the right way to go. I don't like it for judges or for anybody in Congress. And the reason I really don't like it for judges is because I think it takes them a while to figure out where the bathrooms are. I mean,
how horrifying is that, man?
Thing.
How many decisions do we say, well, it's OJT, buddy, it's on the job training. They're still figuring it out. It's called the Fifth Amendment, not the Sixth. I mean, how long do we tolerate that? Should we even tolerate it?
I get, I don't know. My impression is that it does take a while, because a lot of times these judges that are appointed, at least statewide, I mean, for district court level, they don't have experience in other areas that they're just, handling cases.
Horrifying.
So it takes them a while.
You just horrified me,
out.
Frank. You horrified me.
Well, George, look, I'm not speaking out of school here, but a lot of the appointees are just either public defenders or DAs. And so they have good criminal experience, but they don't know anything civilly. They don't know anything domestically. I mean, it's not. And so you got to kind of pick that up as you go, you know. And so it's a little tricky. I mean, that's a little tricky. But, you know, I think that they become good judges. I think that, you know, I think there's got to be a way to figure out, besides just retention votes, how to get rid of the bad actors anyway. I know out of Jeffco, there's a lady who, you know, she just had no temperament for the job whatsoever, and she finally got non-retained. But it took a lot of work. And, you know, I think about on a federal level, I mean, Nottingham, for God's sake, the guy, he might have at one point been a decent human being, but he grew out of it. I mean, yeah. he was a horrible person. He shouldn't have been.
He was rough to be in front of. That was the universal word, man. He was rough to be in front of.
Oh, he was an awful person. I mean, I don't know if you ever had a chance to be in front of him.
Nope.
He was an absolute. I mean, he was horrible, and he didn't, and it wasn't. It was
and by the way, those guys have
say.
Lifetime it tenure. Wasn't. Those guys have more than what our judges at the state level have. They can serve until they leave feet first.
Well, unless you're Nottingham and you're caught.
There's that. There's
clubs
that.
And prostitutes.
Frank, do you feel like, that same analysis of, hey, we got to give them a chance to figure out the system should apply to other members of government in not having term limits, like governor or AG?
I don't know what you do, though, George, because look, what's happened, like on a state level with term limits and things, I don't know many people down there who you know, do work other than legislative who think the term limits has been a really great thing down at the state house. But, you know, but you also can't, I mean, I don't know. I there's been at least one, you know, person who I've had to deal with here and there, but she got elected to, you know, Congress nationally just recently, but she never figured it out. She never knew what, I mean, you know, she was known as the vacuous hair flipper, and she never did figure out.
Boy, with a description like that, it could be anybody, and yet I think I know who you're talking about.
No, I bet you have an idea who I'm talking about.
I feel like I might. This thing with the judges, though, and I'm because you're in a position to know, I want to have this conversation. I don't want the excuse for longevity to be, hey, they needed some time to figure it all out. And if the reason for that is because we're putting them in positions in which they don't have expertise, it seems like the easy answer is to say, stop putting them there. Like, there are people that get appointed to the bench that have been in domestic relations their whole lives or have been just big, some highfalutin civil firm lawyers. They make the absolute worst judges on the planet Earth. For trial judges, give me public defenders and DAs all day long because they know the game, right? They know this
work. Correct, because they're in front of courts. They're all
the time. And they know the jive, right? When you come in and say, oh, judge, I couldn't get this discovery because of this, or I could, they know the game. And they're like, you're full of it. When you put these other folks in there, one, they have no perspective. The game takes place at a speed they're not prepared for. It's not like moot court when they were in law school. That's one. And the other part is when it comes to issuing sentences, they have no perspective. Give me a public defender or a DA all the time, because some of these guys show up and they're like, this is the worst case I've ever heard. And some dude gets crushed with decades in prison, whereas a DA or a public defender would be like, it's kind of middle of the pack. You know what I mean? It's just not that bad in the scheme of things.
I do agree with you 100% on that, because you do need somebody who just goes to court. I mean, whether they're doing, you know, one thing or another, and that's why a DA and a PD get a little bit of a better nod, because, and I don't disagree with it necessarily, because they are in court. But I mean, you got to have somebody who you know, doesn't need to Google Maps where the frickin' courts are. I mean, yeah.
Or to look up hearsay. Do you know what I mean? Or to look up 404B evidence and be like, oh, other acts. Got it. I mean, you need someone who can shift on the fly. And we don't get that a lot. And so maybe the change we need to make is, in addition to considering the term limits thing, is, hey, if you've been in domestic relations your career, we love you as a domestic relations attorney. Like, if you put me, if I were ever to get appointed, my God, by the governor to be a judge, and they put me in domestic relations, woe to the people who appear in front of me, because that's like taking a dude who spent his whole life doing orthopedics and somehow sticking him in something and saying, talk to me about infectious diseases. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know this stuff.
Well, you know, you know how it, I think because Denver rotates those guys, you know, kind of from division to division every couple years. And I would be, you know, it's tough. I'm like you. I'd be, you know, if I got stuck doing domestic relations, I'd have to, you know, I barely got a gentleman's B out of that course.
That's right.
In law school.
That's
you
right.
Know,
talking,
you know, I'd have to relearn things from the very get-go.
But here's where it gets really weird, Frank, is that if somebody walked into your practice and said, I have a big-time complicated divorce, would you represent me? You would be ethically bound to say, I can't. Right? Like, I'd have to refer right. you because I don't. And yet, if a governor makes you a judge, you can then sit in and make decisions about that same case. How does that make True. Any sense?
It doesn't. It just doesn't. I don't know how you, and I don't know how you do it. I guess you are heavily reliant on how people handle their business in the first place. I mean, you know, are judges willing to get up to speed on something that they're not that comfortable with? I would hope so. Hopefully you're appointing people who have enough conscience to do that. But who knows? I mean, I don't know. It seems to me mostly a lot of these appointments are kind of demographically.
Anymore. You know, I just, and again,
not,
the problem is,
no, not right.
the problem is that those judges, whether they're good at their jobs, not good, smart, not smart. And of course, that's got to be the presumption, right? Everyone that puts on the robe, you have to treat like they know what they're doing. It doesn't matter because their decisions carry the same force of law with the same huge consequences for your client, whether that client's the people or a defendant or someone in a domestic case. It's just, it's a system that I think we have just up to this point, because it goes so unscrutinized and unchecked, we've said, no, this thing works great. This thing works great.
Yeah.
I think if we really treated these offices and the scrutiny of who got into them like we did the other offices we put people into, I think we'd come up with a different product. I hope the product's better, but it would certainly be one that you and I had a better understanding of. Because right now, short of being an attorney, and people are texting in here, a couple of people, too many lawyers and politics and all this, nothing about the law should be as complicated as it is. And yet, that's kind of why you and I have jobs.
Yeah, and you have these legislators that are elected, and they think that their primary goal is to get more laws on the books. And actually, I think it should be probably the other side of it. Like, let's get rid of some of the obscure, arcane things that are on the books. Let's get rid of that. You know, that would be as big an aid to anybody as getting something passed.
You know, they're doing that in Aurora, by the way, at a small scale level. The Aurora City Council has something called, I think it's called a regulatory roundup. And I think Dustin Zvonik is spearheading this group. But they're going through and asking members of the community and businesses, tell us which ones of these laws that we have are onerous, ineffective, just suck. And they're going and undoing them. Like, where is that approach to government? I want that approach to government. I mean, the idea that you pass something, anyway, man, I could go on and on forever. Frank, thanks for the call. We got Bill on the line. I promise I'll get to you, Bill. Another thought here. This would be like making a professor the attorney general of an entire state. Who would do that? It turns out the majority of voters, twice. Anyway, listen, before we cut away, and we'll come back and get Bill and whoever's calling in on Frank's line at 303-696-1971. I got to tell you, right now is the perfect time to start planning for the post-tax season. That's right. We're in the tax season right now. We've got till April the 15th. Some of us extend longer. I've done it before. And you're trying to, I think I'm going to get something back. This is going to be one of those good years. I don't think the economy's going the direction I thought it was. I'm looking very, very optimistic at the future. One of the things that you can do, that one of the things you should do, is to take some of that largesse, some of that profit, if you will, and invest it in someone that you love. And the best way to do that is to go to our friends, Littleton Jewelry. You don't just support Littleton Jewelry because they put out unique, unmatched, legacy quality heirloom pieces for the people that you love the most. That's not the only reason you go. You go there because Jesse is a family guy who took a family business and has blown it up. And that's what we're about here. No knock on the national guys. No knock at all. But if you're looking to support a local business that puts out a product that's better than the national chains, you got to go to our friend Jesse at Littleton Jewelry. Now, you can check them out online, littletonfinejewelry.com. littletonfinejewelry.com. But you are cheating yourself out of an experience that will leave you with a smile on your face and the idea that, you know what? Colorado's going to be okay. We're going to do okay with folks like Jesse and his family running that shop. And you get in that car, you drive out there, go south to Hudson Gardens. Hey, sometimes you're just in the area. You go to Hudson Gardens, think to yourself, I'm going to stop in and see Jesse. I'm going to turn right at the jewelry repair sign. I'm going to go in and I'm going to say, what's the coolest thing you could do when it comes to jewelry? And of course, they can buy and sell the gold and silver, the platinum, all that stuff. But the custom jewelry is where they are just so distinctive and so unique. Reach out to them. You can go check them out on the website, but reach out to them in person and go check it out. You're going to be happy that you did. That's littletonfinejewelry.com. littletonfinejewelry.com. When we come back, Bill, John, the other folks calling in, it's George Brockwood on the George Show, 710 KNUS. Knopfler et al. Right here on 710 KNUS. Again, always interesting to listen to the podcast because all of this music is gone from it. And so here I am making these pronouncements about which bumper music we have. And it's always weird because it comes in silent. And there I am saying, hey, it's Stone Temple Pilots. Nobody knows that my son listens to this show. Nobody knows. 303-696-1971. Hey, before we get to the phone lines here and Bill and John, I'm going to get you on. I just want to say thank you, and you'll know who you are, for the toe warmers and the little hand warmers that a wonderful listener sent to us in recognition, I think, of my carping and whining about the fact that we are working in an icebox many, many mornings. The temperature on the wall, of course, completely fake. I think it's there to trick us. It's probably gaslighting, if that's the right use of that term. And it's incredibly cold. So now I've got these toe warmers. I'm holding up right in front of the camera right now. If you're on the YouTube channel, and if you're not, what's wrong with you, man? Go out there, Google it, subscribe, like it, watch it, love it, share it with your friends. And so thank you. Thank you for the toe warmers. That is very, very generous. We also accept gold bullion. Bill, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, Bill?
Morning, George. Yeah. You know, I remember Tancredo making the comment when he, you know, when he went, I think, five terms instead of his promised three, because he said that seniority is much more important than he realized. OK, and I think other people, Jared Flake, made that same comment. After 6 years in Congress, you're still a backbencher. So he felt that it was unfair to his constituents that he would, you know, leave, be replaced by someone who will go further to the back of the line. And I've also spoken to a state senator here in Colorado who is going to be termed out after next year and who told me the same thing, that he was in favor of 8 years, but he found that it was too short. So I had a thought of, if you're familiar with in the NFL, they have this thing called a franchise tag where they can take a player and say, you know, the normal rules don't apply to you. We're going to be able to hang on to you a little bit here. And so a similar thing where each party, say each election cycle, would get to choose two members who would otherwise be termed and say, okay, we're going to give you a franchise tag and let you run again. And if the voters want you, you'll be returned and you'll be a senior person who can then, you know, guide or mentor or whatever, you know, the more junior members in the legislature.
Well, so does that mean no term limits because of that, or you want term limits?
No, everybody else would be term limited because the voters have said they wanted that. And I think most people seem to think it's working well here at the state level. But you would
would have to find somebody that would say that out loud, because the term limits here, if you talk to folks that have been over there in the Capitol, it has created such dysfunction, such tribalism, and such a lack of institutional knowledge, which you've touched upon, that we revisit issues that we had debated and put to bed 5, 10 years ago because nobody has a memory.
Right. I think most voters think it's working well. Okay, yeah, the pros up there on the Capitol Hill, they don't have that same opinion. That's why it had to be passed by a voter initiative, because the, you know, the legislature never do it. So what this does is it lets you keep term limits for most people, but the parties would get to choose every election, say two people in the House, two people in the Senate, so you'd have four total between the two major parties who would be able to, you know, exceed the normal term limits. if the voters return them. They could get the tag and then be voted out in November. But this way you would keep some elements of the institutional knowledge while still, for the most part, keeping people term limited. And the people who really like being there would probably work extra hard to, you know, so when they can be term limited, they might be a strong candidate to win that franchise tag and stay on further on.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Good thoughts, Bill. I appreciate that. Thanks for keeping them going. Let's get to John on two. John, you have a couple minutes with us. What do you think about what Bill said, or your own thoughts on the term limits thing, man?
Well, George, I think, and this goes back to a discussion that you had a few minutes ago before the break, that when you've got someone in a position like a judge position that is coming in and really doesn't have the experience in that field of the law, such as going from domestic to criminal or things like that, I would recommend that they apply something to what I do in my profession. I'm an instructor of commercial pilots, and I train other instructors. We don't let them come in and teach and sign somebody off and say they're safe to go until they've been observing somebody who's an expert in that field. And then they go, all right, now I understand the nuances of this new position I'm in. I think a judge should have to shadow another judge in that career field until they're signed off to judge cases that are not part of their expertise.
Well, forgive me, I had to cough button myself there right as you were finishing up. What's the fix? What's the fix that gets us there? Is there a federal fix that's different than the state fix, or is it the same approach to judges across the board?
Well, I do think those positions need to have a better filter and a mechanism for sake of a better term, flushing out the people that really don't need to be or belong there, that aren't the best choice for the public.
I wish we had a system here in Colorado that vetted our judges more like the judges we see vetted at the U.S. Senate level. I'm not saying it's a flawless system, but I'd love to see some questioning of these people by legislators. Like, just because some group from the community said, we like these three, and a governor said, I like this one best, there needs to be some other check on that. John, I don't know if it's coming, but I sure hope it is. Hey, sir, thank you for hanging on. Thank you for the thoughts on this thing. We are just about out of time here. I don't know how 4 hours went by so quickly, but it did. My thanks to Josh Scharf from the Independence Institute. Take a listen to that in the 7 o'clock hour. David McGoy, a super investigative reporter for the Denver Gazette. His piece as well. And you for making this return so nice. I won't be back tomorrow. It's John Caldera, but I will be back on Monday. I'm not going to Jordan. I'm just going to court, people. Cross your fingers for no warrant. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.